This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Jo Ray Wright's friends and colleagues at Duke describe her as a smart, dignified woman with an incredible work ethic and an unwavering devotion to her students. When she died earlier this month after battling breast cancer, the university lost their best advocate for graduate studies and graduate students. Of course, the loss goes beyond what Jo Ray accomplished as dean of the graduate school. It resonates with everyone who worked with the cell biologist from West Virginia. Peter Lang is the provost of Duke University and a close colleague of Jo Ray Wright's. Sally Kornbluth is vice dean for basic science and a professor at the Duke School of Medicine, and they join me now from the campus. Peter and Sally, welcome.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Peter, tell us about Jo Ray's career at Duke. She came as a professor first, right, 1993?
That's correct, and she was an outstanding professor in cell biology. And at a certain point, the administration bug either bit her or she got bitten by it. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. But she became essentially the same job that Sally now holds, and she did that job for a while, and then Dean of Medicine, Sandy Williams, came to me and he said, listen, I've got this fantastic person working with me, and, you know, she's got real leadership potential, and I want you to meet her. So I took her out to lunch and met her there, and I totally agreed with Sandy that Jo Ray was just going to be a person who could really lead. And when the Dean of Graduate School job came open, I brought it to her attention and said, you know, you should really apply for this. It's a search, but you're going to look good in the search, which she did. And so then she became the dean of the graduate school.
And that leadership resulted in some pretty substantial changes. What's her legacy as an administrator?
Well, on the graduate school side, Sally could probably tell you more on the basic science side, but on the graduate school side, she really opened up and transformed the budget process and made it very transparent, which has really enabled us to deliver funding to graduate students better. I think she also created a maternity leave policy for graduate students, which was something that had been missing. She was extremely attentive to the funding needs of graduate students, including increasing their stipends, even during the worst period of the downturn when we were cutting other areas. Jo Ray insisted that we had to continue to support our graduate students at the right level, and she was enormously committed to developing a broader career service support for graduate students so they could think not only about PhD careers but beyond PhDs.
Peter, and what you're saying is that that's quite a set of accomplishments, because it's one thing to be a good administrator that the rest of the administrators like in the school, but she's pushing you to do things for students that, you know, that's going to cost the university, frankly, and she got
Absolutely.
It done.
Absolutely, and she was an enormously effective advocate for all of those things.
So, Sally, tell us about her accomplishments as a scientist.
Well, I mean, she was an outstanding cell biologist, but importantly, she managed to make progress in areas that could be translated into medical importance, and did so in a way that is often tough for a PhD in an MD community. And what was really sort of a hallmark of that, I think Jo Ray was the only PhD ever to be the president of the American Thoracic Society, and she was really well-respected across the whole spectrum. And I think that's sort of a testament both to her scientific acumen and to her testament to deal with people in sort of all walks of science.
And her people skills is one of the things that comes up regularly in any discussion, anything you read about Jo Ray. And at the same time, she's described as a very private person, polite, well-mannered, considerate, respectful, and private. Let me ask each of you to describe her personally. Sally?
Yeah, so Jo Ray was someone who, you know, she had a backbone. It wasn't that she was a pushover. Everybody you talked to liked Jo Ray, but she was very, very direct about what she thought about things. The other thing is that Jo Ray had a pretty wicked sense of humor, despite sort of her private side that not everybody saw. She would be funny. I mean, you know, I was talking to one of my colleagues today about this. You know, when she'd had a long, hard day, she might send me an email, and the only thing in the subject line would be the word rope, as in, I'm at the end of my, you know, and she just had great commentary on everything. So although she was, you know, always professional and always gracious about everything. You know, she had a good sort of sarcastic humor on the side.
Peter?
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. And, you know, she had a great laugh, too. So she was a very infectious person, partly also her enormous, you know, her personality exuded optimism about the world. And it was reflected in her humor. She could be a little sardonic. She observed people she thought that was part of her job, was to observe people along with working with them and to see the humor in life. And she communicated that to everyone else. And that just made a great difference in working with her because, you know, you always knew you were going to have fun when you had a meeting with Joe Ray, no matter how serious the topic and how important the issue to be determined. It was just going to be fun to be together and work through a problem.
Did she talk about what led her to make the change to go from the lab to the office to do administration? It's not necessarily uncommon for someone to want to make the change, but to be good at both is uncommon. And I wonder if she talked about why she decided to go into administration.
I think she was just passionate. I think she was driven by making things better for the students and the postdocs and other trainees. And she thought she could do it and, you know, felt that this was a great avenue to sort of affect that sort of change. And in her first job as administrative job as a vice team for basic science, she was able to really use her scientific acumen to inform the job in terms of starting all sorts of facilities for scientists, getting things really moving forward for the students and postdocs. And then she was sort of able to continue that in a larger form as dean of the graduate school.
Yeah, and I understand that she was fearless about technology. She was really an early adapter.
First adapter. Yeah. I remember getting a text message from Joe Ray before I knew what a text message was.
Right. I think that's absolutely true. I think the other thing is you could never overestimate Joe Ray's energy and her passion. So that, you know, she moved up on these jobs because she found each job that she still had energy and she still had broadened horizons and passions that got opened up at each level. And so she wanted to move to the next one, not because it enhanced her, you know, her credentials. There was no credentialing in Joe Ray. It was, I can do more. I can accomplish more. I can meet needs better as I move through these various levels.
Well, and you've called her, Peter, indomitable. Why?
Well, because I observed her through her disease, among other things. But that would just be the end point of something because, you know, as dean, she faced challenges. It's not easy to be a woman administrator and to have an agenda which you really want to promote, which may not be in everyone's interest. You mentioned earlier, Frank, you know, that she had ideas which might cost money. I think less the money than moving people out of inertia into new zones of how they treated people and how they thought about programs. Those things were already, and she would just, in a quiet, steady, good-humored way, just keep at it until people recognized the wisdom of what she was saying and the rightness of what she was trying to promote, and then they would move to that position. And then when her disease came, her optimism never left her. I mean, right down to the last time I saw her, which was 2 or 3 weeks before she died, and Sally saw her even more recently than that. But Joe Ray just kept that basic optimism of character, and I think it propelled everything that she did.
That seems to me, Sally, to be all the more impressive and all the more admirable for someone who is used to success and taking on challenges because they think they're going to beat them. This is one thing you simply don't beat, and she knew that. So tell us about those last days and how she managed her challenge.
Well, you know, the remarkable thing about Joe Ray is through her whole illness, I think she basically turned it in a way that she really spent her energy on others. When she realized that, you know, she might not beat it, she would, every time I saw her, the first thing she would ask me is, you know, how my work was going, how the kids were doing. You know, she would send notes to, you know, my daughter about, you know, some athletic events, et cetera. And so I think as things began to progress, she was sort of blessed with a large group of friends who she would, you know, talk to, and she would really try to take an interest in them rather than in her own plight. And it was really impressive.
Peter, what is Duke doing to honor Joe Ray's memory?
Well, we have already created two fellowships for science, of women in science, one in the medical school and one on the campus side in the natural sciences. And those fellowships are they're just ideal because they really, you know, they personify one of her highest levels of interest and also what she represented. I think the medical school may move to another recognition of Jo Ray over the next few months. And so her name will be out there. You know, she'll become part of the lore of graduate education at Duke. And I think, you know, that's perfectly fitting. And it's a great sort of role modeling for students who follow after.
Is there anything that other people can do if they want to contribute to the effort?
Yeah, so on the med school side, we're trying to raise funds for a Jo Ray Cafe in the New Learning Center, because that would be a great gathering place for students to sort of remember Jo Ray. And so if folks are interested in donating to that effort, that would be terrific.
Yeah, and I think that's what we really think. I think we're all together on that. That's not a medical school versus
exactly.
The rest of the campus. That's a perfect memorial, and so we'd all want gifts to go to that.
Peter and Sally, thank you both so much for being on the program today.
Well,
thank you so much.
Yeah,
Peter Lang is the provost of Duke University. Sally Kornbluth is vice dean for basic science and a professor at the Duke School of Medicine. They shared memories of their colleague Jo Ray Wright, who died of breast cancer earlier this month at the age of 56. Stay tuned to the State of Things. There is more to come, including a look at Hollywood and Vegas in the 70s through the eyes of the gold diggers. And Sanjay Gupta joins us talking about his trip to Greenville and a look at head injuries on football teams. All that coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.